I'm sorry. I thought this was a safe intellectual space where we could ask questions and we didn't understand things. I didn't know this was like a firing squad.
You can if you have a favorite team. But
yeah. Otherwise. Also, you at least knew Fair this point. Was a safe Fair space. Point. I don't know about intellectual.
Hello and welcome to episode number 545 of the podcast. I'm your host, Knox McCoy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The podcast is a show dedicated to delightful idiocy. We're committed to educating you on things entertained but do not matter.
To find out more about these serpentine pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Podcast, and we're on Twitter at PodcastPod.
Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be snake drafting unwritten rules of life.
But before we do that, you guys, we have the perfect reason to leave your house in June. The Podcast Live is coming to a town near you. And by near you, I mean, it might be a fun weekend trip. On Friday, June 21st, we will be in Dallas at Gilly's Dallas. And then the very next day, on Saturday, June 22nd, we will be in Chicago, Illinois at the Vic Theater. So how can you get tickets? Well, tickets go on sale to the general public on Wednesday, February 28th at 10 a.m. Central. So if you're an early bird listener on Wednesdays, hi, we love that you're listening at 4 a.m. Love that. Just know that in 6 hours, you can buy tickets if you haven't already. This evening, it's 2 hours of absolute delightful idiocy, and it includes most of our PMG team. We ship in from all over the country. You do not want to miss it. Plus, if you'd love to come, but none of your friends or loved ones are into us, like you're into us, we have a special solo travelers meetup in both cities hosted by Indy Adams on our team. So don't let the losers in your life prevent you from having a great time with us in June. Learn more about the podcast live by clicking the link in the show notes or heading to knoxandjamie.com/live.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
All right, Jamie, we are here to do the Unwritten Rules of Life snake draft. I'm so excited. I feel like there's a lot of room for nuance here, for learning, for education. But before we get into it, do you want to introduce our very special guest joining us today?
Okay, so we have in our snake draft, we have, of course, our beloved Erin H. Moon. Erin
is
the senior creative here at our company. She runs our other show, Faith Adjacent, along with our beloved Evan. And Erin is at 90% of her voice being back.
I'm 100. I'm 100.
That's fair. Mm. It's not. It's 90%, but it's not annoying anymore. So we're very excited to have her back.
I didn't realize that it was. But
it wasn't
good
annoying, but it was just, you know, when you have a vibe
I get
of like,
it.
I'm fine. Sick, but I don't go to a doctor.
Yeah.
Jamie, so it's hey, Erin Muffin, really quick. Jamie, just say, I got DMs that said it's annoying. I don't think it's annoying, but people have said that.
Oh, that's right. What it is. I don't think it's annoying, but there has been some communication. She does not like the public not liking her, so that is a problem.
I'd rather Jamie just be annoying, honestly.
So we're so excited that you're here, Erin. I know that you are very competitive, so you will make a great snake draft competitor, as always. And then we also have our beloved Jason Waterfalls is with us.
Hello, two-time snake draft winner.
Look at that.
Is that true?
Unofficially official.
How do you win a snake?
That's what those same DMs said.
Oh. Yep.
That's nope. See. You see how
that's
you use
a lie.
That.
Listen, okay, so we wanted to introduce you because I was like, let's introduce them and talk about their CV. But then I realized I did not know, Jason, where you went to college or, to be honest with you, I don't understand your day job fully.
Yeah.
Even though part of it is here.
Sure.
I'm going to be honest, I don't understand that either. But You're important and valuable and you are loved. So I would guess you went to a private college. Do you think, Aaron, do you think you went to the same one the whole time?
No, he feels like a college hopper.
Yeah, like this vibe's off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nope.
Or he ruined the
vibe.
Because
to be fair, she was herself a college hopper.
Mm.
That's not true. When you transfer to one other college, that doesn't mean you hop.
That's a hop.
No, it is a transfer.
Aaron, I have a question. If you're walking down the street and there's a puddle and you have to get over the puddle and you do it in the air, what's that called?
That's a transfer.
Even if it's one time.
That's true.
Got it. Got me.
Yeah, I went to a community college. I had just as many college credits in high school as I did for the first 2 years of college. None of them were private schools, for the record. And let's just say we're not quite done, but we're almost there and we're not going back. So, yeah, four total colleges that I have.
Gap year.
I have credits.
Yeah, you're just
from.
In a gap season. Because, I mean, what good is a degree anyway? Knox, you have a degree in English?
Worth nothing. Literally nothing.
I mean, you're an author at least. Like, that's pretty nice. But I have a
none of that helped me. It didn't help me do that.
Well, I have
can
a degree in
that.
Sociology, Women's Studies, and African American Studies. So,
am I the one who's using my degree the most?
Yes.
That theater degree?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
entertainment.
Pretending that your voice is back.
Yeah. Are you doing a performance about your voice for the last few weeks?
Yeah.
Maybe I am. Maybe I am.
Here's the thing. Aaron had a chance to say, pretending I think you guys are funny. And that would have cut the heart out. Right?
I'm not an improver.
She's classy. She's a classy person.
That's right.
That's why she
I'm classy.
That.
She does love a script.
I love a transfer.
Well, I'm excited. I know. Unwritten. Sometimes we take on weird topics. Sometimes we take on really specific topics. This is one of those that's kind of like, I think, adjacent everyday discourse. You know, it's something we all kind of engage in, even though we don't know how we all engage in it. So, Aaron, when you saw the topic here for this episode, were you like, this is cool, this is a good thing, unwritten rules, or these are kind of annoying fake rules, and I'm glad we get to talk about this?
Oh, no. There are definitely unwritten rules in society that most people understand, but there are a subset of humans that refuse to acknowledge this, and they need to be taught.
Okay. So this is instructional.
This is instructional. And if you are going like, I didn't know that there were unwritten rules in society, this is for you. This is 100% for you.
I think
we're
that's
here
good.
To educate you.
Honestly, the more she talks, I do feel like it's less than 10% now. I feel like it's
no,
like,
it's not. No,
it's maybe
it's
18
not.
Or 20.
No,
it's yeah. No, she's not warming up. Like
no,
she told
it's
me.
More like I just haven't talked all day, and so it's ramping up. It's getting better.
No, totally.
I think. I think it's getting better.
It definitely sounds like it. Before we get started, we need to draw for draft positions.
I'd like to be first.
Okay, you can choose first. Well, no, I think our guests need to choose first.
Thank you.
Our guests need to choose first.
No, I just want to be number one.
You might get that because so it's four. I've got four note cards I'm looking at, and they include.
You think he's really looking at them?
100% am. I will show them to you.
I believe he has integrity in this.
Thank
area.
You, yeah. Thank you, Aaron. I believe your voice is getting better. You know,
thank you.
I've got 100% voice, so I'm going to go.
Thank you, Knox.
I've got 100% voice, so I'm going to go first, and I choose that Jamie goes first.
Yay!
This is BS.
I think an unwritten rule should be ladies go first, so Aaron gets to pick.
Thank you.
Of that before, but the context we're selecting is. My top four favorite Saved by the Bell characters.
Oh, okay.
So the wrinkle here is if you choose one that's not in the top four, you have lost your choice.
Oh, and it goes no. In the oh, no.
So don't miss.
So Aaron can go first.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a lot. This is difficult. Okay. I'm going to go with what I assume is a safe bet, but now I'm nervous because I feel like you're tricky. But I'm going to go Kelly Kapowski.
Wow. Okay. You almost talked yourself out of it. But yeah. That was smart. You did.
Okay.
You do have Kelly Kapowski.
Okay. Yeah.
She is one of the top four.
Good
and
job.
You have the third pick overall in this draft.
Okay. Good.
Third pick.
Okay. Good job.
So one is still on the board for Jamie.
Okay.
Jason, would you like to cede the floor to Jamie officially?
I would. Yes, please. But for the record, I'm only allowing it to happen because I want it to happen, not because ladies should go first because it's their choice. That's what I would say.
Your choice, your choice. That's what we always say. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. it's Zach.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Even
it's
though
a travesty
some
if it's
people
not.
Said he might be problematic, you know? Some
listen, I said, think the heart wants what God. The heart wants.
You're dang right. You're dang right the heart wants.
Come on!
You have Zach. And you, unfortunately, though, have the fourth pick.
tricked. I should have said Mr. Belding, son of a
okay.
bee.
Jason, you have the next pick.
I'm going to go with A.C. Slater.
Unfortunately, A.C. Slater is not one of the four.
That that is tough.
Wait, can I guess another one? And if I do, can I give my third?
Oh, that's a great wrinkle. Listen, and I do like that.
The
I do
confidence
like that.
Of Erin being like, I got it. The fact that she thinks she can name up to three more characters on the show is impressive.
Also, wait, who's
dang it. Who is me and Jason?
I see it in Slack now. So I'm like, this is going to get real murky real fast.
Yeah, it's too murky.
Oh, yeah.
It's too murky.
Right.
It's
okay. Okay, so Erin, you can try to steal. If you're wrong, Jamie can switch switch slots with you.
If it's Jesse Spano, I'm going to lose my mind. If you pick Jesse Spano over AC Slater,
no, I know who
ridiculous.
It is. It's an outlier. I know
there's
who
two
it
more.
Is.
There's two
can
more.
Can I guess?
You have to accept the liability. Do you accept
liability? I accept. Okay. Stacey Carosi.
Unfortunately, please, you have lost your
dang
choice.
Come on. No! I tricked you by telling you it was an outlier.
No, I had already decided it was Stacey Carosi.
Jamie, would you like to choose again or steal Erin's?
I would like to choose again.
Okay.
She's third.
She is.
Yeah, but if you choose again, you can have the new one.
Well, I'm only moving up. So yeah, yep. I want to have a new one if I get it. Okay. I think the
now,
another
if
choice-
you get it wrong, since you are fourth, Erin gets to open hand slap you on camera. And we get to watch.
Okay. I'm willing to take that risk. It's Samuel Screech.
Oh my gosh. You got it wrong. I really do want to see her slap.
Shut up.
Come here, Jamie.
We'll do it for the social. We'll do it for social.
Golly.
Jason, I'm just going to give you the choice between Lisa Turtle and Mr. Belding, Chattanooga's own Mr. Belding. Some say
not even including
the other usher.
Not even including
of
it.
Chattanooga.
Yeah, I'm definitely going for Lisa Turtle.
Lisa Turtle gets you the first pick overall, Jason.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I will take Mr. Belding, which should give me, if
he
I'm
shouldn't
good
get
at math,
that. He shouldn't get first. He had it handed to him like a little horse with a feed bag over it.
But I think that horse offered other horse the feed bags and they dropped it. So he's
but
like, well, I guess I'll take
those horses. Those horses took risks and they actually got one right, is what I'm saying.
So
one didn't.
Did it land where you still have the third one, Jamie? You still have the fourth one?
Yeah.
And Jason,
nothing
you have
happened.
The first one.
That was
I don't
all
know any,
pointless.
I don't know what any of the rules were at this point, but I know
to
I'm
be
going
fair,
first.
To be fair, it got muddy at the end. I think we're 15 minutes in, too.
I know what all of you are trying to do. You're trying to cover up your misses. And Jamie, most importantly, you're trying to cover up the fact that you have to get slapped. That is canonical.
I'm so sad about
I'll do it at that next AUA. I'll slap her. I'll stay at her house and I'll slap her.
You have to promise to use
force. I promise I'll slap her. I'm really good at slapping people.
Don't be like that.
Okay, Jason, whenever you're ready, you have the floor.
On a moving walkway is coming to an end. Please watch your step. If you're ever sitting at a gate and you hear that over and over again, it's crazy. But some of them have on the walkway, stand to the right to walk, to stand, go on the left to walk. This is the same rule in on American roads. I don't want to muddy this up with the UK, but on American roads, you go to the right and you pass on the left. This is what needs to happen in grocery store aisles. You stay on the right side in a grocery store aisle. That is an unwritten rule. No matter what happens, there are two lines. It's a dotted line in the middle. You can pass on the left and go around, but then get back over to the right lane. This is a two-lane road. If you need something that's over on the left side, you don't have to go to the end of the aisle and turn around and come back. You can move your body over there, but your cart stays on the right side. I don't understand how people do not understand that there are other people in grocery stores, and it's a two-lane road. And it has to be easier for everybody to get their grocery shopping accomplished.
So if I'm on the right side coming the other way, I should stay on that right side. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, but with your body, you can go over to your left side.
Right, to go find my ranch dressing, but I leave my buggy.
But you leave your cart on the side. There should be a dotted line down the middle of every grocery store aisle, and each side should have arrows because people cannot handle it without that, just like on roads.
You think this should be for other stores too, like when you go to Bass Pro Shop?
I like to think that Bass Pro Shop and other stores are like purposely guiding you to places that they want you to go. I mean, there's all that, you know, psychology and whatever. But I don't know what Bass Pro Shop does except for it. I go to the tank every time. I go to the fish tank every time.
Sure.
I check out the fish.
Say hello.
And then
how are you guys?
I just kind of disperse from there.
So do you stay to the right when you go to the tank?
Jamie, I think it's a good question. It was maybe the worst store example you could have used. I'm saying that with respect.
Listen, to be honest, I've never been in a Bass Pro Shop.
Okay, this is a wild pool.
We have to go.
What's in there?
Oh my gosh, you would love it.
Are there snacks?
Yeah, there are great snacks.
Is there like a concession stand?
It's like one level down from a Buc-ee's.
Yeah, I want to experience that. Okay, that's great. So you have sidewalks too. You think this right side applies to sidewalks, like when you're 100%. Walking?
Yeah, absolutely. You stay to the right except to pass. Like if everybody just abided by that, of course, everybody's on their phones these days. We don't have to get into that right now. But if everybody just stayed to the right and then you pass on the left, but you've got to understand some sidewalks are two lane going each way sidewalks. The grocery store, because of, and I quote, Buc-ee's, is one lane per direction, right? So you have to stay on the right side when you're going up an aisle, and then they need to, you know, and so on.
Can I yes and this? And so like we add a little footnote to your unwritten rule. I think if some people would say like an old person is just sitting parked in the middle, like almost diagonal in a way that no one can get around, you are allowed to gently and cheerfully ram their cart out of the way. And it's not seen as like a hostile, aggressive action.
You can say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
Oh my, and you're still ramming it down. Yeah, and like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Ram, ram, ram.
I just got to get through here.
I think that's good stuff. Okay. I have the second pick of the first round.
When's it my turn?
You are.
You're last.
You're last.
Allegedly.
But you get to go twice in a row. Oh,
but you were close. Yeah. You were close.
Close.
My unwritten rule is that when answering someone's call, if you are answering them on speakerphone and any other human person is within 100 feet, you have 1.5 seconds to declare that you're on speakerphone before they are talking. You have to observe the 1.5 second rule. Otherwise, you are in violation of this unwritten rule.
Okay, let me ask a question. Should they be on speakerphone if they are with 100 feet? Of another person. Should they even be on speakerphone?
Well, that's a different unwritten rule we're talking about. Okay.
So
it's a valid question.
No, I don't want to talk about that yet. But it just felt like, should you even be doing that at all? But you're saying in the car, like if you answer a phone, Aaron is saying if you answer the phone in the car.
Yeah, I answer the phone in the car all the time.
Sure. And
don't act like you're better than us.
No, I'm not.
You answer the phone.
I'm not. I'm
you
just
say,
saying.
Go for moon. Go for moon dog. Something like that. A cool.
No, I just. When I answer the phone in the car and
I know it doesn't sound
car,
like me because I'm at 90%.
Oh my gosh,
me.
I sound just freaking normal. And I say, hey, I got kids in the car. So
got it.
Now hold on. Who are you talking to that you have to specify that there's people that are under 18 in the car?
Well, sometimes Jamie, honestly.
Frankly. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I think the primary application, and I would also ask permission to include text exchanges.
Yes.
Because sometimes you get kids and you're texting with your wife and I'll get the like, just so you know, your youngest has the phone.
Yeah.
And she's reading the messages you're sending.
Yeah.
And that lets me know I got to be cool. And amend whatever I might have been saying or thinking
It's the youngest it's the youngest that has the phone. Why would the youngest give themselves away? They're not going to narc on themselves.
Marlo, she's going to be like, hey,
she's
baby.
Like, hey, dad's asking about dinner. Do you want him to get dinner? So she's invested in this exchange. And then Ashley's like, tell dad that you're holding the phone.
You're
or if it's like on, like the car's reading your text messages, you know, with an Australian Siri accent. So keep it cool, man. Don't.
Right.
You
no,
know?
These, are, these are.
That's
these
the
are
phone the owner's system. Responsibility, not Marlo's.
That's what he's saying.
We're all.
Yeah, but Marlo's not going to type that just because her mom told her to.
I know. That's my journey to take with Marlo, and that's my wild horse to corral. But I'm just saying, like, we agree. If someone else is involved in your information exchange, you have 1.5 seconds to say, this person is here listening and interacting with what you're saying.
Yeah, because if I was Marlo, I would say, oh yeah, I'll type that. And I'll be like, text, text, text. And I'll be like, I'm alone. Do you have anything special you want to say to me?
Oh my gosh.
Look, and
I don't know that Marlo's going to go that far. But okay.
No. All Marlo wants, and she always gives it away, is she says, she adds to every exchange, she asks for God's chimpkin. And she says, and by God, Chimkin, I mean Zaxby's, because she's on a crusade against Chick-fil-A.
Oh my gosh, why is she upset with Chick-fil-A?
She's burnt out, doesn't like it. She thinks Zaxby's is superior.
Zaxby's is superior.
She'll all caps.
Why does she call Chimkin?
She thinks it's hilarious. She thinks it's just the funniest thing.
Give her.
So that's her tip off. So I know, I don't think this is Ashley, I think this might be Marlo.
I think this might be Marlo.
I'm not going to send the emoji I'd planned for this exchange.
Sure.
So
yeah,
that's my first pick. Jamie, it is not your pick.
Ah!
It is Aaron's pick, though.
Okay, mine is in group settings. Keep moving forward until you reach a natural stopping point.
Thank you.
So, for example, are you getting into a car with a lot of people? Load to the frickin' rear. Go to the back. Stop being an idiot. Are you getting off of a train or a bus or a plane? Keep walking. Do not stop to look around for the gate information or get your bearings. Move out of the way. Like, just have some situational awareness and pay attention to what is happening around you. I cannot stand this.
No, this is maddening.
Please, just continue to move.
I thought this was going to be a fun episode. This might be the most triggering episode we've ever done. And we're only three picks in.
Is it because you do this? Do you look around and like...
No, this drives me nuts. I literally will walk
into people. I know you don't.
If they stop in front of me, I will walk into them because... And then I'll say, oh, whoa, sorry, stop. Sorry about that. But I see, I said, sorry,
no,
you stop.
You don't apologize. They need to apologize.
It's not real. I don't.
They are the worst.
No, see, I actually do. I do that. I'll brush. I won't hit. I won't like make contact, but I'll brush the sleeve. And it'll be like, hey, your subconscious should tell you you're being an a-hole and you're in the way. You need
but
to
move. But they don't realize it because no one makes them pay for their dumb decisions. They won't. No one holds them accountable. They just move around them. We should be slamming our bodies into these people.
We should tase them a little. Just tase them.
Like, that's like a great them. Idea, actually. Yeah.
I want to insert, hey, Knox, insert Jesse Pinkman. He can't keep getting away with this.
He can't keep getting away with this.
Okay, Jason, back to you. No, I'm kidding.
It's going to be so bad.
You actually have a back-to-back. You got two now, right?
Oh my gosh, let's just camp out with me because I've got a lot of anger and I'm going to get it out on this podcast.
This
that we
feels
have.
Healthy. So, let's do this.
I know, right? This is like better than therapy. So if I hand you my phone to look at something, don't touch the screen.
No.
Oh, yeah,
for
that's
any
a good
reason,
one.
Right? Don't leave the app we're in to go look at my main screen. Do not swipe left or right on a photo or a video. Don't look at my search history. Consider this being the equivalent of me handing you one of the 23 copies of the original Declaration of Independence. And the consequences of touching it are federal prison. Like, you can't touch it. Like, don't.
You got to even give them little gloves to hold it with. Like, put these special gloves on because it's a very precarious situation.
That's right. And don't drop this phone. Mm-hmm. Don't change the volume. Don't do anything.
Have y'all ever been a victim of this?
Yes.
Oh. Yes.
Like in the picture was not a picture that they wanted
Listen,
to see.
It was worse. It was a text that I was showing them and they scrolled up and I had been talking about them.
Oh my God.
Shit, Jamie. I kind of want to blame you a little bit on this.
It was bad.
How did you do that?
I don't know. I didn't know they were going to scroll up and see our whole talk history.
That is our generation's version of Russian roulette. That's insane, honestly.
It was horrible.
Oh my God.
So now sometimes I want to just keep holding the phone and be like, no, just look at it.
Yeah.
No. Just look at it. Stop
I think that's what that's the answer. Control the experience. I have my hand on my phone.
Probably so. Yeah.
You do not get to interact with this.
Oh, I think you got a screenshot and send it to them. You can't. These people can't be trusted. First of all, Jamie, that's crazy that if you were one to two scrolls away from S Talk about the person that you handed your phone to, that's on your.
You,
that's
you
not
did
an
that
unwritten
to
rule
yourself.
I did that
in society. But that said, just take a screenshot and send it to them.
No, that's very smart. Because listen, and the screenshot, if you ever take this pro tip I got from the internet was many years ago, which was if you ever accidentally send a screenshot to the wrong person, like to the person it's about, like, and you make a mistake, just immediately text that person and go.
But see, now, do you want me to edit this out? Because now people know.
Now
oh, that's the
know.
Move. Now.
No, leave it in. I'm confident. I
could just do the music and they won't know what we said. But we'll know you offered a good solution.
Now we know.
We know. Yeah. Now I just can't do it to the three of you. So.
Okay, Jamie, back to you again.
Oh, I'm so excited. Okay. So in a home bathroom or a public gender neutral bathroom, the seat always goes back down. Always. First of all, it should go back down because it's more hygienic to flush with the lid down. Okay.
Yes.
Your pee that's filled with liquid death and patriarchy needs to be covered when it heads to its next home. Okay. But also, I think just statistically, it's in your favor. Pikachus use the seat down all the time, and Diglets use the seat down, I would guess, a fourth of the time. So statistics tell us you need to leave the seat down. And look, I know in the year of our Lord, 2024, you would think this is not an issue. Look, I had the electricians in my house. They left the seat up in my hall bath. Chuck, my dad, comes to my house. I'll go back in. There it is. It's up. I do not understand that. It is illogical. Like, don't do that. It's an unspoken rule. You're always supposed to put the seat back down. Just put the seat back down. I don't understand. In your house with your loved ones, put the seat back down.
I feel like that makes sense. I feel like I don't like, some people feel really strongly about the toilet paper. Like it needs to go over, not under, or over vice versa. Yeah. I don't feel really strongly about that. The lid makes more sense. Okay. We are back to Aaron.
Listen, when someone sends you a video or suggests a show or references a meme, do not be the joy killer that says, oh my gosh, you haven't heard of, because the rest of that sentence is inferred to mean like, you uncultured swine, you absolute imbecile. No, I haven't seen this stupid video. I'm sorry you saw it on TikTok 4 years ago. Excuse me for wanting to share a modicum of delight with you. Forgive me for bothering you with my friendship. I merely saw something and it made me think of you. You could just give it a little heart and like move on with your day. You don't have to say like, I saw that 4 months ago. Like, well, I liked you 4 months ago, okay? Wow. Grow up, get a life, like you freaking L7 weenie. Turn down for what? Like, this is so irritating. Like, stop being like, I can't believe you haven't seen that. Shut up!
Aaron, how are the DMs? How are the DMs? They feeling good right now?
Like, no, it's not even DMs. Like, this is stuff people do in real life.
Yeah, this is, like, I have a group of friends that there is one, and she's listening, and she knows it's her. She knows it's her.
Name names, cowards.
Listen. Knows who it is, and she will do that to us. She'll be like, oh yeah, I saw that.
Don't take away my joy.
But she has gotten better because we finally said something about it. We were like, hey, like, it's really sweet if you just like do the haha reaction.
Listen, we don't like it's enough. It's okay.
You could just say that's fine.
Listen, everyone on the internet has sent me a version of the TikTok where Troy Bolton is Travis and Taylor's son, and he's trying to decide if he's going to go to Juilliard or if he's going to play in the sports game.
Sure.
And you know what? Every time someone sends it, I give it a heart because it's like, that's so nice that you thought of me. That's precious. And it makes me happy. I'm not going to steal anyone's joy because that was on TikTok 4 months ago.
Yeah. They don't need a timestamp.
Butthole behavior.
Of when, like, anytime Shia LaBeouf shows on a podcast, I get the video, and I'll even get like, I'm sure a million people have sent this to you.
Yes.
Just it's heart. Like, doesn't it's matter if they have. Thank you for thinking of me.
Thank you. That's
and
so
it,
kind.
And it doesn't matter. If they send you that little boy in the car who went to the dentist and he's having a weird time.
David.
That was 17 years
Literally.
Ago.
Literally.
That kid has a mortgage
he's
now.
He's 30. He's 30.
I was thinking Charlie. Like, hilarious. Charlie bit that boy.
Charlie bit that finger.
Also yeah. him.
Those kids Charlie have their dead own now. Kids now.
They're dead. Like they have aged out. They were in World War II. They have passed on. RIP. Thank you for your service.
Be like, this is so funny. Where'd you find it? Just do that. It's so
it's
easy.
It's okay. Like, you don't have to be a butthole.
It does. When the more you're getting upset, it's regressing to Mickey tones.
No, it's still here.
It sounds like you're
85%.
You're mad at Donald and Pluto for doing something.
Making plants. Oh boy.
Y'all.
Knox, editorial note, do we have a long enough Aaron of Grievances to just put underneath this entire episode?
It's gonna be the whole episode, man. I'm up to loop it.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Olive & June. As a longtime user, like like 6 years, and a huge fan of Olive and June. I still can't get over how easy and convenient their manny systems are. Between hosting 2 podcasts, planning a live show, and our latest merch launch, I haven't had much time for like self-care and sitting around at a salon for hours. No time, but I do love having pretty nails, and it's during these busy, hectic times that I'm especially thankful for Olive and June. Their manny and pedi systems come with everything you could possibly need to have salon-worthy nails genuinely at home whenever you want them, even if you only have 5 minutes. I love how Olive and June, they've created products for those of us with a lot on our plates who maybe are not great at doing their nails. Like, I don't have a ton of skill set. And look, they've made it easy. The number of times I've done my nails in a rush as I'm about to run out the door and then end up smudging them, it's super embarrassing. You'd think I'd learn by now, but no more. Olive and June's line of tab press-ons are a life hack I never want to live without. They're so easy to put on and come in different sizes, so you can always find the perfect fit for you. They look so real and they last like 10 or more days, and they're not damaging like gel. I love that I can order them as part of the Manny system with up to 4 different tab sets. It's the perfect time-saving prezi for myself. Visit oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Aura Frames. I am super excited to share that this brand is not only Knox and Jamie approved, but more importantly, it's Chuck and Jan approved. Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected frames with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos as you want from your phone and they just magically appear on the frame. If Chuck and Jan aren't enough of an endorsement, it's also been named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. It's such a fun gift for all ages. Do you know what my favorite part of the Aura frame is? I haven't been called over to Chuck and Jan's house even once for like Tech Sunday to like set it up, to fix it. It's truly the perfect set it and forget it gift in the best way possible. I was over to their house for Easter dinner. My niece sent all the adorable photos we had taken of my cutie patootie great nephews to Chuck and Jan's Aura frame. And it was so easy and seamless and fun to have the photos show up before we even left the house. Jan is the most difficult person to buy gifts for. And I was excited to see how much she loves her Aura frame, because I immediately decided to get one for her bedside table for Mother's Day this year. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code podcast at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Has everyone's social calendar suddenly picked up, or is it just me? This is that magical time of the year when I can actually enjoy a patio lunch with Jan or just be outside for longer than 10 minutes without immediately regretting every life choice. You know what I mean? Since this beautiful weather only lasts about 5 days in Alabama, it's always tempting to cram in as many social gatherings as possible, for I need to limit myself to indoor-only activities, and it can be easy to ignore my social battery and spread myself too thin. As an extrovert, I tend to thrive around people, and I always thought the more the merrier when it came to social commitments. Therapy has been super helpful in giving me the self-awareness I needed to build a social life that does not drain my battery. Being able to not only recognize my boundaries, but be able to enforce them has been so helpful in creating some balance in my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Since it's entirely online, the convenience truly cannot be beat, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/popcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/popcastpod.
Is this me?
It's you.
It's back to me.
Yeah, it's
back
you. To me.
Okay. I'm going to go, I'm going to say unwritten rule. Whenever a dog is around you and it stretches, you have to say big stretch.
Oh yeah. That's a good one.
Gotta do it.
That's a good one.
If you don't, you're psycho, you're sociopath, and you suck. You're an L7 weenie.
You have to talk to the dog. You have to talk to the dog, or you talk to the owner.
Doesn't matter. You can say to the dog, if the dog looks like it's interested in interacting, you can say it to the dog. But the dog's like, this is kind of more of just like, I'm just trying to like stretch the body out, not like interact with you. You can just say it to the world, but you got to say big stretch, something like that. You can't just say big stretch.
No, it's the dog's body. Let the dog choose what it wants to do. We don't comment on other people stretching. Why are we commenting on the dog stretching? I don't agree with this one.
Is it only stretching? What if the dog does other? What if the dog sniffs your Pikachu? What
if the dog starts licking his privates, you don't say big private licking.
Big sniff.
Big old licking privates. You don't do that. It's no, just right? about stretches, right?
Just the stretches.
Because social media told me, I don't know if it's true at all, but it said when they stretch in front of you, that's their way of saying I love you because I'm comfortable with you.
They're
to do
honoring
this.
You.
Yeah. I don't know if that's remotely true. It also told me if you're playing with a dog and it starts sneezing, it does like that. Like that's its way of saying this isn't a real fight. So, you know, so in case you were worried, this is
man,
not a real
I
fight.
Didn't know that you were on that side of TikTok where you were getting dog translations.
It's not where I'm on TikTok. So I'm not getting it from TikTok.
Have you seen the mats that like, where the dog can speak to
you.
Yeah,
they click the thing and they're like, outside, outside.
I think that is, like witchcraft for sure. I don't understand.
I wouldn't want it because Luna would just sit on it and it would just be like food, 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 food all day. I don't like that. So that's my unwritten rule. No pushback on that. Jason, you have a back-to-back here.
All right. This next one, no names, of course. Is that if you have a sports podcast and you have to have favorite teams because hypothetically, if you say something like you're agnostic about teams and it's pretty annoying and nobody understands what it means and to only constantly have revolving cast of favorite players, I have favorite players too that are not on my favorite team. But again, no names and you don't have any allegiance to any teams ever and no one can take shots at you. It's fairly obnoxious. Wow. So again, no names, but that, I think that's an unwritten rule of people with sports podcasts.
Yeah. I just viscerally disagree with this. I think when people say they're agnostic about teams, I think that's kind of the coolest thing I've ever heard, honestly. And I just wish more people would talk like that.
So can
awesome.
You talk about a player that they love? Like, can you S word on the player they love and that hurts their feelings? Cause you're wanting to rile them up, right?
Yeah. But they only pick the best players like Joe Burrow. And then it's like Joe Burrow is awesome. So I can't just like, you know, hammer Joe down Burrow on Joe Burrow again. Not me when I'm listening back.
Who's this guy you're talking about? I don't know who you're talking about.
He
this
might
a weird
be
example.
On here as well. You know, it's just really annoying when you constantly have somebody close to you in your life that just takes shots at everything that you love. It'd be like if that person just watched a bunch of movies and then we were like, hey, what's your favorite movie? And then they're just like, oh, I like this specific actor named Glenn Powell, who's maybe making a lot of bad choices these days. So it's like in that type of a situation, you don't have a favorite movie. It's very aggressive.
I think sometimes hypothetically also this would be like a person who maybe made a bad choice of their favorite team and they're feeling a little sensitive that their favorite team always makes bad decisions and they get made fun of in their text thread that they have with their friends and they want someone else to feel the pain. That was what I would say.
I do think that's true. That's I agree with that. Like I don't mind feeling pain about my team not doing well, but I want you to also sometimes feel pain.
Yeah.
That's a good rule. Good job.
Jamie, you've got Alabama. Aaron, you've got a very clean UAB program. You know, not so about you. who would you say your favorite team is?
Did you did dive deep on the new quarterback situation?
I did. It does not look great.
It's not what you want.
I'm going to have to find a new team, unfortunately.
Okay. I'm into like recommitting, like doing a year term. You know, I tried to do that last year. I did exit that relationship like 3 weeks in. Okay. So that's my fault. Okay. But I will... In the interest of some sensitive little babies, I will commit to a team for a year so that they can make fun of me good and proper.
Let me guess. You're going to jump on the Chiefs. Is that right?
Man, you took the words right out of my mouth. I just feel like they're a big underdog. No one respects them. I love a big like story of like, you know, rising and firing and everything. So that's a good one. That's a good one. Okay. Back to sorry. You still have your other one.
All right, for my second on my back-to-back that is mine to choose, and it's my time to be picking, if you borrow someone's vehicle, no matter what the situation is, if you borrow somebody's vehicle, fill it up with gas before you return it. That is an unwritten rule of life. You don't have to fill it up. If it's a F-250, not sponsored by Ford yet, but if it's an F-250 and it's $1 million to fill it up, at least fill it up past where you got it. You don't have to go all the way, but if it's a sedan or whatever and you're borrowing it for whatever reason, fill it up. Also, get a car wash for them. Isn't that nice? You drove it. You hit extra bugs that they were not going to hit that day. All right. You drove through puddles that you transferred over puddles that, you know, they might not have been transferring over at the time. Now here's where it gets a little bit sensitive. Okay. If you don't know what type of gas the car takes, don't fill it up because that can be catastrophic. If you don't know what kind of car washes they normally get, like there's touchless car washes, there's non-touchless car washes, their car, their choice. Do not get a car wash that might scuff them up or do not accidentally put really crappy gas in it when it takes really high-end gas and do not accidentally put high-end gas or diesel in it. I know I'm creating a kind of a controversy here as far as like now we're getting into diesel, touchless car washes. I get it. But if you borrow somebody's vehicle, do something nice for them in return for borrowing it.
Okay, Jason, walk me through, why are we borrowing people's cars?
Okay. Well, typically it's trucks, okay? And anybody that's ever had a truck
sedan.
Knows about this.
You were like, I'm going to get a, if you borrow a sedan for whatever
I'm
reason,
trying to be inclusive.
Why would you borrow a Camry?
I'm vehicularly inclusive, okay? Now, I drive a minivan and everybody should. Obviously, it's the most efficient, effective vehicle on the road. There's no question about that and everybody admits it. Doesn't mean it's the most aesthetically pleasing.
So you're borrowing a truck because you're going to put something in the truck? Like you're what's happening with the truck?
Yeah, it's mostly people with trucks. I mean, honestly, I used to have one and I didn't get another one because I got a minivan because they're the best. But also, I didn't get one because I was tired of people borrowing it and then they would return it to me worse than they got it. And I think that that is inappropriate. So this is really just a version of return something nice as nice or nicer than you borrowed it.
Okay, do you think if someone borrows a pie dish and or someone brings you a pie because maybe your uterus was problematic all weekend and they brought you a pie, should I have to give back that dish with a pie in it or can I just give back a clean dish?
You should give back a clean dish with a thank you note in it.
Okay, yeah. The good. Because we can't be pieing back and forth for 5 years. I can't do that.
That's like paying for the person behind you in line and don't setting off a chain of inconvenience.
I do that. I do that. Yeah, I absolutely do that. I love it. I love it so much.
You're an agent of chaos. That's why you do it.
And you did it for $4 and suddenly I've got a minivan full of 18 people in it and they're buying for people back at the job site.
Also, that person was trying to bless me. Like, why am I stealing their blessing?
You don't have to continue.
I didn't opt in into this blessing parade. You know,
so I'm saying I'm going to receive their blessing.
First of all, Jamie, great question. Do you have to return a pie in it? That is such a good analogy of me getting caught in the moment of like, okay, you would never, ever do that. Right. And that is, that would be crazy if somebody brings you a pie and then you return their pie dish with a better pie in it. Cause like Jamie specifically, you're really good at baking. So yeah, you're like, hey, your pie was okay, but you should try this. So that'd be insane. But secondly,
I would make the same exact pie. But make it better. Like I would make the same.
I think that is, if we're talking about etiquette, I think we've landed on the right answer. If we're talking about flexing on people socially and being like, I'm the alpha baker of this group, I think that is actually the best move to do is to make a superior product.
I agree.
This is back to me. I hadn't planned this, but I feel inspired. I'm going to say unwritten rule of life. If you have food restrictions, don't impose them on everyone else. Because hypothetically, maybe you had a friend in college who had just discovered he had IBS, but every time you and your friends wanted to order pizza, he made you order it without the sauce. So you just had bread and cheese.
And toppings.
It's like the pizza version of a Ken doll with his pants off, just a patch of fleshy nothingness in the pizza because you've got IBS. I think that's ridiculous.
Why you just order two pizzas?
Thank
well,
you.
Well, you know, you're in college. You don't. You got to.
Oh,
you gotta
do you want to talk about college orders from fast food or no? Now's not a good time. Listen, there's too much sauce on pizza. The sauce is the worst part of the pizza. So now we at least are getting light sauce. Okay. Yes. When a no sauce order with other people is a wild move. I agree. But I had to request what I had to request at the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can do a half pizza now. Also, food restrictions are only if they're medical. If you just have a preference, like I just love to be plant-based, then you need to bring your own plant-based whatever.
I'm glad you say that, Jamie, because another hypothetical I was thinking of is like, what if you shared an office with two other people and like once a week you'd get lunch and we would do a system where everyone got to veto a certain style of food and maybe hypothetically someone would always say Chinese even though those two people really like Chinese. Wouldn't that be weird?
And someone like was just like really mad about one Chinese experience that they had one time.
That's
right. It was
and
traumatic.
It really, really colored their experience with Chinese food. And the other two people were like, man, Chinese sounds so good today.
Yeah.
But that person was
listen,
just like,
I eat Chinese food Friday. It's not always. It's just for lunch when you figure out that it's the thing they want so badly. And you're like, no.
How would you be that kind of person?
This is like slowly turning into pet peeves of other podcasters that you're currently on a podcast.
No, this is all hypothetical. Aaron, back to you.
Okay. No one is more annoying than the grammar police. You're not cute. You're not smart because you know which version of there or there to use in a sentence, especially when someone is not being an a-hole on social media and a commentator just wants to be cute and like a smart aleck. There's only one exception to this, and that is when a man is mansplaining within the text of a mansplain, there's a grammatical error, and your response is to correct the error. There are so many reasons to be uncool. Find another one.
Do you feel like Aaron's thriving on the internet?
I don't. I do not. But honestly, I'm also hearing like Mickey say, it's ho, not ho, goof. Like,
I feel like I am speaking normally.
Honestly, you took one of mine though. This, like, you got one of mine off my board because you're exactly right.
But listen, as a reminder, if you're a jerk on the internet,
you're a jerk in real life.
Yeah. So, like, don't be a jerk on the internet.
Okay, Jason, back to you for your last two.
All right, my last one is gonna be.
It's still funny every time.
It is.
No!
It is because she's not entirely sure any time when it is her time.
I do not know when it's my turn. Okay, my last two. Okay, first one, if your partner is out with friends, okay? If your partner, your romantic partner, is out with their friends, do not text them.
Yep.
Unless it involves a hospital or a firefighter.
Yes.
Like, almost all of my friends' husbands are guilty of this, minus Ben Moon. Thank you, Ben Moon. But listen, all the mother bee words, their husbands are constantly texting them.
No.
They're texting like, what time will you be home? We'll check the microwave when I walk in. That'll tell you what time I'm going to be home. Okay.
Dang. Well, actually, where am I running? They're home now.
I know. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Where are my running shorts? Check the entire house. And why are you running at 9:30 at night? Okay. What are you doing now? None of your business. Okay. Are you spending money? Yeah. The part I bring home from my job. Okay. I am spending money.
It's a great call. We call it the when you're gone, let you be gone rule.
Let you be gone. Yes.
Because it's very simple stuff.
Do not do this.
Yeah.
I don't love it. I don't love it.
It's a good one, Jamie.
Okay. And then my last one, I think that we can all agree on this. I hope we can. Do not knock on someone's door or ring their doorbell without telling them you're coming.
Oh.
Okay. Mm. This is not Mayberry. This is not Stars Hollow. This is not Wisteria Lane. Okay. This is 2024 because maybe somebody's already over. Maybe the house is chaotic. Maybe I'm still in my clothes from yesterday and I don't want to explain it. Maybe I'm gummied and I'm scared. maybe my vibes are weird. I don't know. I just don't need you to knock on my door. I don't need you to knock on my door.
Can I ask a stupid question? Do people actually do this?
100%.
Yes.
They really do.
Yeah.
Yes. Like,
I think I've curated my life to where people just don't do that, but I know that's not everyone.
One time a guy just knocked on my door so he could ask if he could stay on my porch because it was raining and he didn't know it was going to rain. And so he said, can I stand on your porch?
No.
Well, he was like 90. I didn't say anything. I hid like you do when people knock on your door.
Okay.
You said he could stay under the porch, didn't you?
No, I literally hid, but I knew that's why he was there because it had started.
Oh, wait, this is not a real story. You assumed that was going to be his question when he knocked?
Well, why would you stand under the porch until it stopped raining? That's how long he stood under the porch.
So this was going to be my exception. If there's something going on around your house or on your property, I think you can go up to somebody's door and knock and ring at any time.
Yeah.
So there's certain exceptions.
My neighbor did that because I've moved to a neighborhood where people don't have blinds on their windows. And so they are, I guess, mostly dressed all the time. That is not my life. That is not my journey. I am often in disarray. And so I just don't need the knocky knock. Like, I don't need the, hey, what are you doing? Or, hey, you want to go to dinner? What? No, I have to plan for these things.
There was a text you could have sent. That's when we move here in a few months to where we do not have neighbors anymore.
Right.
The knock is going to become very ominous. Like, no one should be knocking. And the fact that someone is going to be like, get your baseball bat or weapon.
But what if it's God's chimpkin?
If it's got Shimkin, then Marlo's going to be like, you've got the key. Come on in. And
can we stop? Can we stop manifesting God's Shimkin, please? This is giving me like really negative vibes.
I'm so scared. I think I'm going to get God's Shimkin tonight.
I just want to clarify. It's all caps. So it's like God's Shimkin. Like we're saying it.
I don't love
low
that.
Caps.
That didn't lower make case, it better. So
I think Zaxby's should consider Marlo their new marketing manager, quite frankly.
Just up okay. and to the right. Have you ever heard a song on the radio and felt like it was written about you? That's why I'm so excited to share about our new sponsor, Songfinch. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. I'm on their website right now, and I'm about to create my very first song. They've made it so easy. When you go to songfinch.com/podcast, all you have to do is click the big orange button that says start your song. In order to make the songs entirely original and personalized, they ask questions like, who are you creating this song for, and what's your inspiration? You get to pick the artist who creates the song for you, or you can have Songfinch help you by selecting between genres, vocal styles, vibe, and tempo. You can get as detailed and personalized as you like, but the process couldn't be easier for a songwriting novice like myself. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Go to songfinch.com/podcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/podcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too, songfinch.com/podcast.
With our live shows coming up in June, I've obviously started doing a little shopping. It's always so fun to look for live show outfits and accessories and go through my travel checklist to see what might need a refresh. I don't need much of an excuse to get myself a prezi, but one of the things I have on my list that I need to get before the new show is a new sun top from Pear Eyewear. Wearing my Pear Eyewear eyeglasses on travel days is probably one of my favorite life hacks, especially if you have an early morning flight. Who wants to wake up and have to deal with contacts before you have to get on a plane? Throwing on my glasses and then adding the sun top when I need them is just so much more convenient. I think the brushed rose sun top might be the perfect one to add to my collection. Pair sun top frames start at just $30 and the prescription glasses start at only $60. Don't forget that you can save even more by using pre-tax FSA and HSA dollars, and they always have free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's PairEyewear.com, code POP.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Okay, Erin, back to you.
Okay, my last one is, you can only order full service from a sit-down restaurant if it's an hour from closing. Like, yeah. No earlier. Dessert and drinks if it's 45 minutes from closing. And you should not stay ever past closing, ever. If you walk into a coffee shop 10 minutes to closing, the only thing you should be asking for is drip decaf, tea or an ice water to go. Do not put your trash anywhere in a trash receptacle in that restaurant. If you do anything less than this, the tip better be at least 100% in a coffee shop and at least 75% in a restaurant. Like, stop going to places in big groups and dining right when the restaurant is about to close. You horrible person.
What if I need a latte and they freaking close at 2? Why are they closing at 2?
That's not your business.
I would push back. Business. Some of these people are like, we're closing at 1:37 today, so make your peace with God.
Yeah, too bad. Like, listen, Lady Bird Taco, yeah, I'll call you out by name. Why are you closing at 4?
That's their business.
I want tacos at 5.
I'm sorry. They're not going. That's that. They have posted
They're not
their
God,
hours.
Aaron. They're not God. They got to deal with their consequences.
They
no, they're
are
not.
The God of this establishment. They have chosen.
God's
and
chimpkins.
And so they get to decide. God's chimpkins has decided when they will close.
Now we have to have a soft close time. Now every restaurant for hours, they also need to have soft hours. And I don't like that we have soft and hard hours.
They need a kitchen close. Yes, they need a kitchen close. Absolutely. We need a kitchen close time posted.
100%. Yeah. But until that happens, until that is a normal thing, you're not going to do it. Don't do it, y'all. It's such a butthole move.
I will say, God's chimpkin It actually, in our town, I don't know if there's everywhere, it had the first, like, I don't know what they're called, like the Coke machines where you can get anything. You can cherry ginger.
Freestyle. Freestyle. They're called Freestyle.
Freestyle. It's never the word I think it is when I'm thinking. So thank you for telling me that. They had it first. So, you know, I don't know. There might be some divine ordination there is all I'm saying.
That's right. Good point.
Okay. I think I'm going to go. This is a dude-centric one, but I think it's very vivid for the guys. No urinal crowding. So if, you know, you go into a men's room, there's four urinals, there's one person there, you don't go right up next to him. That is the biggest unwritten rule. You don't crowd dudes at a urinal. You give space.
But what if you want to look at their diglet?
That's true.
Not what you're using.
Good question, Jamie.
You know,
good question, Jamie.
Well,
maybe that's not what you're using it for.
I think you ask consent. You say, sir, may I look at your diglet while we both urinate?
Yes, we are.
And that's up to him, right?
Yeah, we approve consent.
He would be like, you could have, but the kitchen closed. And so now you have to come back.
God, Shipkin is back in the saddle.
May I tell you what the female version of this is?
Please.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Women looking through the gap.
Yeah, don't look through the gap, y'all.
They do that?
Always look.
Yes.
Always. Like, I make eye contact every time I'm in.
Like, why are you doing that? Stop looking through the gap.
Why are they doing it?
I don't know.
Why are you staring? Why are you all staring back to the gap? Why are you waiting for the gap eye contact to happen?
Where am I supposed to look?
I'm waiting. I'm waiting for someone to look.
I'm waiting for my business to be done. Where am I supposed to look?
I'm not actively participating in my business.
Yeah.
Can I zoom out a little bit
to do it?
Stop making restrooms with gaps.
Yeah, that
door.
Too.
Well, truly, it is the most chaotic American energy because it's not like that in other countries. No. They don't have those kind of gaps.
They also don't have public restrooms a lot of times. So there's also that.
Maybe that's why they solved it.
Jason, you want to wrap us up?
You don't have to share your last anything, no matter the situation. Gum, cigarettes, not for me, maybe for you, clearly for Aaron. Coke Zero, nothing. No matter what it is, if I pull out my pack of gum from my pocket and I eat a piece and there's one left and I'm only with one person and they say, oh, can I have a piece of gum? You can say no. Guilt free. No matter what happens, if you purchase something and you're down to your last one, even if you use or take it in front of somebody, you do not have to share it, and that's okay.
I would add that that person should not ask.
Yeah, I agree with that.
If that's your last
one. If I can see that it's your last.
Yeah.
I would say you need to do better about your like resource management and know. If you've only got the one stick of gum, don't bring it out like you're Rockefeller.
Don't brag about it. Yeah.
Don't be like, look at this one stick of Juicy Fruit.
But that's my point. It's one before that. If I have two pieces and then I eat one or I chew one, let me clear. I'm not a gum swallower like some of you. Yeah. No names on this podcast. Mm. But then if there's only one left, so you pull it out, there's two left visually, right? And that makes sense. You don't have to share that last one.
Okay. I think that is all of our unwritten rules. Can we do, in honor of our last year tickets being on sale this week, can we do like a quick round five, like live show lightning round unwritten rules? Jamie, yep. do you want to start us off?
Be a good neighbor. And by that, I mean, when you're at the live show or any live performance, offer to take someone's pic. If they're trying to get together and have a pic, just be the sweet person who's like, hey, you want me to take a pic? Now, don't be a weirdo who keeps the camera down low, like at your waist, like an idiot. Yeah. Look for the good light. Try to help them. And also be a good neighbor by not having a loud conversation during the podcast live.
Okay.
Because eventually you'll get kicked out and your boob will fall out of your camisole on the chairs at the Atlanta Symphony Hall.
Oh, dear.
Let me skip the line because mine's kind of related to that. I will add to what Jamie said and just say, mix in a water. Just mix in a water.
Mix in a water.
It's a long night.
Mix in some hydration.
Drinks are hard. Hydrate. You know, have a cocktail, have a water. Maybe a water and a half. Jason, what you got?
This one is seemingly an obvious one, but it's an unwritten rule that if you're in the South for a live show, that there's air conditioning running and you're blazing hot green rooms. I think that's pretty standard issue that if you have a facility where you're inviting people and lots of people to come to, that the air conditioning works. So that would be my unwritten rule for live shows.
And now it is a contractual rule with us.
Does it rhyme with SMU? Oh, wait, that's it.
Aaron, wrap us up here on live show lightning round.
Mine would be that if you are a gentleman who happens to work at a live show venue, maybe just because you took 4 years of lighting design, that does not mean that you are intellectually superior to literally every woman who happens to be working at an event. And maybe you don't need to condescend them literally every time you open your mouth, just as a thought. As a quick thought.
Jamie, did you have any also-rans you wanted to mention?
I had a couple. Just, you know, look, return the cart to the corral.
Return the cart.
God. Unless you have a physical disability and your 2-year-old is not a physical disability, okay? Return the cart to the crowd.
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking for.
That's good. Aaron, any for you?
Like, say hello to people before you start demanding something from them.
Gosh, she makes her children do this. It's a delight.
It infuriates me. My kids will like pick up the phone and be like, "Are you coming to get me?" How about hello? How are you? How was your day? What is going on with you today, mother? Did you have an interesting day?
I don't know if it's a generational thing, but my kids, whenever they call on the phone, they're in the middle of, they've already started talking.
Middle of a talk, like that's of a sentence.
Yeah. It's like, cause I'm old school, man. I'm just like, hey.
Hello.
And it's like, where are you at? Are you going to get me? Or did you forget? Are you picking me up?
Where are you? Are you picking me up? Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Hello. Hi. Yeah.
Jason. And he also rans.
I've just got one, but I can't think of a single time where there is, besides maybe a poetry reading, nobody needs to snap ever in public. There needs to be no snapping.
Love snaps.
When do you use it? There should be no snapping at other people.
Time when it's like not appropriate to like clap, but you want to do a little.
What about when you're standing around with some people and like you're practicing like your golf swing, you know, and you do your golf swing and then you do like the.
No, that's
like
okay.
Something like that. Maybe like that's a way you cue people that you're done with dinner and you just do like a, all right, well, this was great, guys. Good to see you again.
What are we talking about?
Is that a version of your clap?
Listen, when you get that Texas toast at God's Chimkin, you do a little snap for the person. That was good Texas toast.
I wanted to be with you on that, Jamie, but I don't think I can be. If they bring
Knox,
me the
you just
chicken,
snapped just when you're like, done with dinner. What are we talking about? There's no place for snaps in society.
Well, and listen, I'm not making a snap noise. I'm just doing the snap movement.
Oh, I think that's worse.
I think that's better.
I love snap sound.
I'm doing it. Yeah, it's
do you guys
better.
Snap?
Yeah, I'm not making sound.
I guess you don't snap, but do you snap with your middle finger or your pointer finger?
Middle.
I snap with my pointer finger. That's so weird.
Who snaps with their pointer?
Who snaps with their pointer?
Me.
Aaron, you just really? Did.
Yeah.
No, I'm trying it. I can't.
Ew. I think I broke my finger.
I don't like that.
Wait, Jamie, if you're just doing this, then that makes it look like they're talking and you're annoyed.
Yeah, you're doing like jazz hands. That's what you're doing.
I'm serving face, though. When I do it, I'm like... Yeah. That was incredible.
Can we say...
That was so incredible.
To the fast casual person bringing food, don't serve face. They're serving the food. Let them do their job. This is not a popularity contest. Just let them be, you know?
Also, can I do one more airplane? Yeah. Middle seat, they get both armrests.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I didn't have, we all use up all my also ran, so I don't have anything to add. The only thing I have to add is a big thanks to Aaron and Jason for joining us on the Snake Draft.
Hey, this was fun. I feel so
And your
happy.
Voice is now back at 90%.
Yeah. It has been this way the whole time.
Right.
Yeah. It definitely has for sure. Jason, congrats on winning a third straight Snake Draft.
Thank you. I never said straight.
Yay! Yeah.
I never said straight for the record. I'm just saying that the people have said that this that I won
the
data.
We see the data, the back end data. We can tell in real time.
I think Lisa Turtle won.
I don't think that's true.
Well, if you have thoughts and opinions, I'm sure you won't on any of our unwritten rules that we've talked about here. Let us know. KnoxandJamie.com/545. All right, Jamie, you gonna do some lights?
Let's do some lights.
All right, what is your red light this week?
Okay, my red light this week is I woke up last Thursday, along with millions of others, to my phone cell service reading SOS. AT&T had a nationwide outage that left many of us locked into our 28-year contracts without cell service for almost an entire day. First of all, I would say red light to all the people who tested their phones to see if it would call 911, because apparently hundreds of thousands of you did that because you were like, would it work? You're not supposed to test 911. Okay. That's the first thing. And then my other red light is to AT&T, who offered us in exchange for an entire day without cell service, which really affected people like at airports because they couldn't get Wi-Fi, so they couldn't pull up their boarding pass, and so they couldn't get on the plane they were on. AT&T offered us a whopping $5 credit on our bill.
Look at that.
For for the inconvenience. Now, AT&T also brought in $30 billion in revenue in the last 90 days of 2023. So I just think that should have been $10, and you know it, okay? Also, it should have been simply more because of the apocalypse anxiety it exacerbated in many of us, because we were like, is this when Julia Roberts dances in the library with Mahershala Ali? Because we don't have cell service? I don't know. Also, maybe related, maybe not related, it has been more than 60 days since we saw Kate Middleton. What's going on?
Interesting.
What's going on?
Do you think it's connected, the outage and Kate Middleton?
I think something's happening that's weird, and that was weird, and this is weird, and I would like answers. I think I know what the answers are, but I'm not allowed to ask because you're not allowed to. You're supposed to get people privacy. But I'm just saying, I think there's more to it than we're talking.
Hey, guess what? Public figures, you don't get all the privacy you want. It doesn't go both ways.
Also, how hard is it just to do a little statement of like, from her going, thank you for all the well wishes? They're not doing that. Why are we not? And somebody even said to me, they're like, oh no, we saw her in a green jacket. And I was like, no, you didn't. You saw her in a picture of her in a green jacket that was from November in Scotland when they said she's now left Windsor. You never saw her leave Windsor to go be with her family. What is happening?
I wrote something down when you were talking about AT&T. Let me see if I can find it. Have you guys thought about not being AT&T? Not having the worst cell service?
I told you, I'm in a 28-year contract. I'm grandfathered in. I only pay $4 a month for my thing because I never change. And so it's too hard. I can't get out now. Listen, I'm still getting 25. I hate to say this. I'm still getting 25% off from the company that I worked at a decade ago on my bill. I can't leave. I cannot leave.
We'll edit that out so they don't know. They don't even know.
Leave it.
It just feels like... Cell phones feel like airline industry, where it's like, you don't like the $5 off? What are you going to do? You going to cancel?
That's right.
No, you're not. Of course not. And I just feel like AT&T is like Spirit Airlines, you know? So when you get a little turbulence, that's kind of what you signed up for.
So what's Delta? Is it Verizon?
Unfortunately, I think it is. I'm not saying it's great. My red light this week, I'm going to say the news about a movie sequel that is already going to be bad. Like, I'm already red lighting the movie. Because the news around it is so bad already, and it's coming out in November, and that movie is Gladiator 2. Because I don't know if you saw this, but the Hollywood Reporter, they dropped an item that talked about Gladiator 2, some of the production troubles. And for context, the original Gladiator, it won Best Picture with Russell Crowe as the main character, Joaquin Phoenix, as a little squirrely, ratty kind of Roman emperor. It was a great movie, 24 years ago.
Yeah.
So a billion years ago, essentially, Ridley Scott's been working on the sequel. It's got Paul Mescal. I always say it like
Mescal,
it's a tequila.
Mescal.
I want to pronounce it like it's a high-end tequila, and it's not, but the heart wants what it wants.
I mean, he's kind of like a high-end tequila.
Is he? That's a question I want to ask later. Okay. But it's got Paul, Denzel, Pedro Pascal. Man, Pascal and Mescal, that's going to throw me. That's a red light there,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, no, that is tough.
Joseph Quinn from Stranger Things. It's going to be R-rated. The production budget right now is at $310 million. And they're probably going to need low end 50, high end 100 something to market it. So you're at almost $500 million before you've even gotten to the box office. Basically, this is a long way of saying this movie is not going to make the money. It's not going to break even, and it's going to be a bad situation. And I don't know why, because I don't think it needed to be this expensive.
No.
And I don't know how it got so sprawling. And I did want to, we're talking about Paul Mescal. I think that's, even if I didn't know this, even if this wasn't true, my big concern with this movie was going to be him, because he feels like a British Channing Tatum, but like with all the riz turned down to zero. And it's just like, go.
And I would argue that Paul Mescal is, I do think he has a lot of riz, but it's a quiet riz. It's not a bold. And I do think for Gladiator, you do need a bold riz.
Can
you
have quiet riz? Is that a thing that can happen?
Yes.
Or is that BDE? Is that what we're talking about?
No, I feel like BDE is bolder. Like, there's a quiet, like, riz where, like, if someone just is, like, looking at you and they're like, I don't know, they're just staring at you and they're like, and then they just give you a little half wink and you're like, oh, good.
See, this is what I need Kornacki on in between elections.
Yeah, to
be like,
fair.
Here's where
and
your high, low riz is.
He has quiet riz.
Okay. Okay. That makes more sense.
Right.
Anyways, I'm sad because I was excited for this movie.
I was excited for
Gladiator, and now it's going to be belly up. It still might be a decent movie, but it's not going to break even, and we're not going to get any more movies about it.
I'm so sad.
Because of this disaster. So
yeah.
Bad times. Jamie, what's your green light this week?
Okay. Speaking of high-end tequila. My first one is a movie starring Paul Mescal, which is All of Us Strangers. Now, All of Us Strangers got a lot of awards buzz and then got completely snubbed at the Oscars. Like, it won 7 BAFTAs. It was nominated for Golden Globes, for Critics' Choice, for so many awards, and it just did not make it to the Oscars. But it's now streaming on Hulu. This is about, this stars Andrew Scott, Hot Priest, and Paul Mescal. And it's about a guy, so Andrew Scott, who is a screenwriter living in a near-empty London tower. He has a chance encounter with a mysterious neighbor named Harry, played by Paul Mescal, and it kind of messes up his whole rhythm of his life. And as the relationship develops between them, he finds himself going back to his childhood home, where he encounters his parents, played by Claire Foy and Jamie Bell, which is unexpected because they died in a car wreck when he was a kid. That's not a spoiler. That's really the basics of the movie. Andrew Scott is so good in this, but so is Paul Mescal. Quiet, Riz, I promise. And then my second green light is the book Night Watching by Tracy Sierra. I talked about this in our February SMK, that I anticipated that this would be a book that I would love, and I did. This is a mom, unnamed, which some people have noticed are bothered by that. She never names any of the characters. She never names them. But I like that. It's very vague. But it's an unnamed mother is home alone with her young kids during a blizzard. She hears a noise in the middle of the night and suddenly realizes it's footsteps coming up the stairs. And hijinks ensue. This book is more than what you think. It is suspense. It's heart-pounding tension. But there's also disbelief and frustration and surprise. The ending is a splendid delight. It is solid and so well done. This book is a creepy, perfect, like going into spring read. I highly recommend it. Okay, what's your green light?
My green light this week is a book. It is called The Sham Shine Blind by Paz Pardo. It's her first book. I think she's known for an essay, I think, in the New York Times that was really well received. But The Sham Shine Blind, it was recommended to me as kind of a noir detective science fiction crossover that is Emily St. John Mandel, like evocative. So I was like, okay, well, I'm in. Because I love detective stories like The Big Sleep, Maltese Falcon. Like, that's what I grew up reading and like loving. And I feel like we haven't really gotten a ton of great detective, like noir stuff. The interesting part with this is it is set in a like an alternate, like late 2010s or early 2010s, I guess. And it's like a counterfactual premise of, we lost, the United States like lost a war, I think in the 80s with Argentina. And so we're kind of like a second rate, country. Like okay. we don't really matter. The Argentinians like are dominant, across the globe. So there's that kind of subtext, but they did so by weaponizing feelings, in the form of pigments, like colors. So they color bombed different cities that did like all this psychological damage. So the story is told to the premise of people not like fighting with necessarily violence, but like literally paintballing with feelings and emotions. So it's kind of a heady premise. And that I think that might stand in the way of some people like picking it up, but it's really kind of a fearless way to tell a story. And I think that something I'm realizing the more I'm reading is there are some story or books that hold your hand and are like, okay, you're probably not going to connect these dots, so I'm going to make sure you know what I'm doing here and I'm setting up so this doesn't come out of nowhere. This is a book, and Paz Pardo seems to be a writer who's like, I'm going to flood the zone with a lot of stuff. Maybe you connect the dots, maybe you don't. If you do, it'll connect on a bigger level. If you don't, story will still work, but I'm not going to worry about if you're a little baby or not. I'm just going to like tell a really good story and like expect you to keep up. And I really appreciate authors, creatives, any kind of person who puts the onus on you to keep up instead of holding your hand. And that's what this story is. It's so well done. I love the adaptation of the genre and meshing it with science fiction. So I highly recommend The Sham Shine Blind by Paz Pardo.
Okay.
Okay, that is going to do it for this episode of the podcast. And for your memory, anytime you do any shopping on Amazon, make sure to go to amazon.com/shop/thepodcast first so your purchases are affiliate link. If for every item purchased using that link this week was, Jamie, this is a box of Zatarain's Dirty Rice.
I do love Dirty Rice.
I do too.
I even though I have to pretend it doesn't have giblets in it. Like I have to like mentally be like, this doesn't have giblets in it. Don't worry about it. So this Zatarain's Dirty Rice has 4.7 stars with 2,300 global ratings. My favorite question asked in the question section was, should I add water to cook the rice? With a guesstimation of about how much juices are from the cooked meat.
Okay.
My favorite answer came from Jimbo, who just kept saying meat juices. He said, it really depends on the meat juices. Broth is mostly water. So meat juice would be great to do pretty equally. Using straight meat juices would be better for semi-cooked or cooked rice, as it would be overpoweringly otherwise. And then Anonymous answered, try it. See if you like it. If you like it, yes. If you don't, no.
It's a good philosophy. I don't hate it. Love
an approach. All right, you guys, don't forget that we have live show tickets on sale starting at 10 a.m. for the general public on Wednesday, February 28th. We would love to see you in Dallas or Chicago in June. You can go to knoxandjamie.com/live to find out more. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Knox McCoy. You can find me on socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.